Charlie removed her headset and glanced up at the window, separating her from the technician slash producer. She could see Mercedes talking to one of the orderlies. Mercedes finished chatting, looked through the glass and gave Charlie a thumbs up. The door to the studio opened and Sam bustled in, carrying his usual flask of coffee, balanced on a Tupperware container of sandwiches and cakes. A large man in his early 60s and sporting a white beard and glasses, he reminded Charlie of Santa Claus. Sam presented The Late Show from 8 to 10 o'clock each evening on City Hospital Radio. He preferred The Late Show. It got him out of the house every night, and meant his wife, Brenda, could watch all the soap operas and period dramas on television in peace. Sam wasn't interested in those. He preferred his music and enjoyed his gig at City Hospital.
"Great show, Charlie,"
he said as he unpacked his food. She beamed at him. Sam was one of her favourite colleagues.
"Where do you find those one-liners? I expect half the patients will need their stitches replacing after tonight."
He smirked and slipped into the chair now vacated by Charlie, fiddled with the mixing desk and sat back to wait for his cue. He waved at Mercedes, who blew him a kiss. The youngest and keenest member of the team, Sean, had joined her and was hunched over a screen. Sean was interested in journalism and IT, but could not afford to go to university, so was learning the ropes at City.
"Good evening. You are listening to The Late Show with me, Sam Sullivan. I have some excellent tracks tonight to help lull you to sleep. And if you fancy a late-night brain teaser, we'll be doing Sam's teaser at 8:30. First, let's start with some Simon and Garfunkel, and one of my personal favourites, The Boxer."
Charlie mouthed, "Bye." Sam nodded in acknowledgement, now concentrating on a sheet of A4 with his running order and notes scrawled on it. She slipped out of the studio and into the technician's room, where Mercedes was shrugging on her coat. "Hi, Sean, how's it going?"
"All good, thanks. I've been updating the radio website. I didn't have much to do this afternoon, so I hung out here, uploaded photos of the presenters, and added a few words about each one, so anyone listening to the station can now put the face to the name."
"That looks great," she said, leaning over and squinting at the screen. "You're really clever with all this technical stuff." His face lit up.
"I enjoy it. I like presenting even more, though. I'm going to try and persuade Sam to let me read out some news stories later."
"Good luck with that. Once he starts talking, you can't interrupt him. He adores that microphone," said Mercedes. "I think he loves it more than he loves his wife. Come on, Charlie, let's get going." Mercedes reversed her wheelchair and manoeuvred it towards the door that Charlie held open for her. Charlie accompanied her friend to the car park, where she helped her into her adapted vehicle and folded the wheelchair away, slipping it into the back of the van. Mercedes was fiercely independent. And even though a sporting accident in her late 20s resulted in damage to her spinal cord and the subsequent loss of her lower limbs, she lived life almost like any other 35-year-old woman. She was married to Ryan, a police officer, and the love of her life. They had no children, but treated Bentley, their miniature schnauzer, like a spoilt child. "You still on for the weekend? I don't want to think of you being on your own New Year's Eve, but I know how difficult it is for you. You sure you'll be up for it?" Mercedes squeezed Charlie's right hand. "I'll be okay. Gavin is meeting me at the cemetery. I just can't believe it's been 5 years since we lost her. It only seems a short while ago." A vision of Amy, Charlie's 13-year-old daughter, flashed before her eyes. So young, so beautiful, yet not destined to live long. She blinked it away. "Well, if you want me to come along for support, give me a call. If not, we'll see you at the house at 7 before the others arrive. It'll give us a chance to have a quiet drink before Ryan plays at being Pete Tong, shoves his favourite dance CDs on the player, and we end up doing the hokey-cokey around our garden. I made him promise not to set you up with another of his work colleagues like he did at the last party. I'm sorry about Tentacle Trevor. I had no idea Ryan planned that." Charlie laughed. "It was okay. You've apologised enough. I managed to fend off his advances in the end. Boy, that man had his hands all over the place. Oh God, don't remind me. I still cringe at the memory. So, see you Saturday."